open the eyes of my heart. Sometimes our eyesight is not all that it should be. We're going to see a clip on the screen from a well-known advert. How is your eyesight this morning? Well, when I first went to the opticians, guess who I bumped into? Everybody. I'll spare you any more jokes about opticians. They just get cornier and cornier. Well, today's Bible passage that we're thinking about is that wonderful story of those two friends on the road, on their way to Emmaus. And on the way, they are changed by that amazing encounter with their risen Lord, who came and walked alongside them. But Dr. Luke, who as a doctor knew a lot about vision and blindness, tells us that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And I want us to think about that difficulty for them and for us, and the cure for that poor vision. There was something wrong. Their vision of Jesus was blurred. And that's my first point this morning. Can you read that? How about that? Is that a bit clearer? Better or worse? Worse or better? Yes, that's better, isn't it? Our vision of Jesus can be blurred. Jesus was walking with them, but they didn't know it was him. So why? Why didn't they recognize him? Maybe because it was getting dark on that first Easter evening. They couldn't physically see or recognize this stranger who walked with them. Or maybe it was they themselves who were in the dark. And isn't that true also of ourselves? Sometimes we are in the dark. Like the two on the Emmaus Road, our vision, our awareness of Jesus is not all that it should be. In the gloom, in the half light of this dying world, we struggle to see Jesus and his presence and his ways among us. Like them, our vision of Jesus can be blurred by many things. It can be blurred by tears and sadness. Perhaps you've come to church this morning with a heavy heart, grieving a loss of someone or something precious. Our vision of Jesus can be blurred by grief. And it can be blurred by disappointment, despair, doubt, or worry. Perhaps you come with those weighing you down today. Perhaps you come with regrets and fears, pain or sickness. All these things can make us like those two on the road, our faces downcast, our heads bowed low, only able to see the rocky path in front, not even able to see one step in front of another. Our vision of Jesus can be blurred. And it can also be blinkered. Think of a horse that wears blinkers. We can be blinkered. We sometimes have that tunnel vision. We cannot see beyond our own situation. Perhaps you need to come to church today to see God's bigger picture. Our vision is sometimes monochrome. The world looks grey, devoid of colour, lifeless. And our vision can be blurred by unforgiveness or resentment that we nurse, or being judgmental of others. Remember, Jesus said, "First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you may be able to see the speck of sawdust in your brother or sister's eye." So today we confess all the ways in which our vision of Jesus can be blurred, when we fail to see him clearly. Of course, some scholars give another reason as to why those two on the Emmaus Road didn't recognize Jesus. And that is because Jesus deliberately chose to remain hidden. Perhaps so that he could draw out faith from within them. He wanted to draw out that sorry tale, helping them to put words to their emotions, drawing out faith. And sometimes that's true for us, for we also walk by faith and not by sight. So they told their tale to this stranger, and it became their heartfelt prayer. If we come to church this morning and in any way our vision of Jesus is blurred, then there is good news. There is good news. Jesus comes near. He is the great physician, and he can heal our blurred inner vision. Our vision of Jesus can be corrected. It was wonderful, that slow dawning, that realization of who Jesus was. That they began to know, this isn't just any stranger, this is someone special, this is someone divine that we're meeting. And he begins to correct their vision. He gently pinpoints their lack of understanding and their lack of faith. He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow of heart you are to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." And that was the key moment. It was this unlocking of the scriptures that corrected their vision. From the scriptures, Jesus explained God's plan of salvation. Jesus showed them the full scope of salvation, the big picture. He gave them perspective. And by interpreting the scriptures according to himself and his life among them, he gave them understanding. He gave meaning to all the events that had gone before. This reminds us that in our trials, when we are walking on stony pathways, We need God's word, which is a light to our feet. We need understanding, perspective. We need the big picture. And the Bible, the whole Bible, is our map. From the Old Testament, we need to remember God's covenant story of salvation and deliverance, the giving of the law. We need the realism of the Psalms, the warnings of the prophets. From the New Testament, we need all four life-transforming gospels that we can grasp the victory, how mercy has triumphed over judgment, to grasp the work of salvation for us. From Paul's letters, we need that great message of hope for a growing church. And in Revelation, the anticipation of a new heaven and a new earth, as we look to the promise of a time when there will be no more crying, no more suffering, no more pain. That will be journey's end. In our trials, on the way, we need to dig in deep into God's word and nourish ourselves, to reinforce our faith in the God whose love will never fail us. And when we read the whole Bible story through the lens of the person of Jesus, we gain understanding. Our darkness is scattered, our vision is corrected, and our monochrome lives are transformed into glorious technicolor. Through the Bible, we see in God, Jesus did what he promised. He put his trust in his Father to bring him through suffering and death to new life, that the crown of thorns would be followed by the crown of glory. This was his hope, and it is our hope today. It is a hope that keeps us going forward, pressing on until we reach the end of our journey, like those two on the Emmaus Road. This divine, direct revelation opened the eyes of their heart. And more than that, their hearts were warmed, so that looking back, they would say to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road as he opened the scriptures?" It reminds us to ask of ourselves, how often do we look to God's word in our daily lives to have a clear vision of Jesus? How central is the Bible to us, to our church? Does it fire us? Does it warm us? In June, the Methodist Church is encouraging churches to run a Bible month, 30 days focused on the Bible book of James. And as a church, I hope that we can join in this initiative. Bible month will involve two key elements. Firstly, a series on Sunday mornings, on the four Sunday morning services in June, a series of sermons. And then secondly, our home groups and fellowship meetings across all ages are invited to explore the book of James, with the aim that this will help the whole church, the whole Methodist church, to come together and engage more deeply with Scripture. The letter of James encourages Christians to live out their faith as well as to confess it. So I encourage you, I commend it to you. And in the church entrance, there is a sheet where you can put your name down to receive a very easy-to-read commentary, just a small book about the letter of James to help you on your own or with a group, that our eyes may be open to that book. And the details are also in the Flame magazine today. So this is one more way that we can keep God's word before us and engage with Scripture. Scriptures that correct our vision. Because as we read the written word, we see Jesus, the living word. We discover that he is not a stranger on the road, but that he is our closest friend, the one who warms our hearts and fires our lives. There is much more to say about this story that I haven't got time for this morning, but I'll be continuing to look at it tonight in our evening service. But Jesus is still speaking to our hearts. Jesus is going on ahead of us. With those disciples, we urge him strongly, stay with us. Stay with me, Lord, as I go into this new week, back to the routine, back to our everyday lives, back to the difficulties that we might have come away from today. Stay with us, Lord. And with corrected vision, may I see that you are with me on my journey. May I see you in your word, in my open Bible. May my hope be renewed, my heart warmed, and may I recognize you in the breaking of the bread, eternal food for all our journeys. Amen. Let us pray and reflect on what God has been pinpointing in our hearts today. Lord Jesus, companion on the way, you walk behind, beside, and beyond. You often surprise us. Break through to us, we pray. Anything that is clouding our vision, so that, healed and with wide-eyed wonder, we may journey on as messengers of your good news and stand amazed in your presence. Amen.